Revelation chapter 12 and 1 Peter chapter 1. When was the last time that your faith was put to the test? When was the last time you had to stand up for the Word of God, that it might actually cost you something? Many of you know that my wife and I went to a servants' retreat up on Mackinac Island Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the only way we could probably go to Mackinac Island and enjoy it, number one, it's half price for us that went. And so that made it nice. But while we were there, because it's a pastor's retreat, guess what the pastors were carrying around in the Grand Hotel? We were carrying our Bibles. Now, let's be honest about it. Most people aren't going to be carrying a Bible around the Grand Hotel. And those that saw us probably wondered, what in the world is going on? Now, Donna met some people that we knew back when our boys were in high school, and it's amazing how people remember Donna even if she's wearing a mask. I don't know what it is about her, but they can see her smile right through her mask. They didn't say, hello, Paul. They said, hello, Donna. And we began talking and sharing some thoughts. And the woman said, well, I wondered why all these people are walking around with Bibles. Would you be willing to carry your Bible at the Grand Hotel? You know, the fact is, sometimes our faith is put to the test, isn't it? Let me ask you this. The last time you went out to eat, you took your wife on a big date, you took her to McDonald's, or to Longhorn, or to one of the other restaurants, or you went with some of your friends over here to the Golden Corral. Things are different at the Golden Corral, but the roast beef is still good. And it's worth going to the Golden Corral just for that roast beef. But you get your food and you sit down and you begin immediately to what? Pray. Are you willing to pray? To bow your head and you say, oh, people are watching. May I say this? The only ones watching is other people who pray. Most people don't care anything if you're praying. But God knows. When was the last time your faith was put to the test? As we mentioned last week, both the Jews and Gentiles persecuted the early church. We're wimps in today's churches. They were persecuted, driven from their homes, sent to other places, lost their jobs. Do you have the book of Revelation chapter 12 there? I hope you have verse 11 marked in some way, shape, or form. Now, if you have your Bible on your telephone or tablet, I understand you can still highlight it. I hope you have it highlighted. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 12, and they overcame him. Who is the him there in verse 11? It's our spiritual enemy. It's Lucifer. It's the devil. It's the deceiver of the world. And they overcame him. In other words, we can be victorious. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Would you say that is willing to put your faith to the test? And even willing to die for it. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is what? Our helper. Our helper. If you're able, let us stand as we read from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 down through verse 9. It's where we've been the last couple of weeks. beginning at verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the salvation that we have in and through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to come this day and to sing the songs of praise, to bring our tithes and offerings, our mission giving. And Lord, now as we look into the holy word of God, may it be of encouragement to each and every one that is here. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. That the trial of your faith. Last week we looked at three men whose faith was put to the test. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We read how they were willing to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Certain death. Yet they didn't have Revelation 12:11, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They simply lived it. They lived it. How interesting that as we look at today's person, Job, that his faith is not recorded in the Hall of Fame chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. Yet Ezekiel mentions him with Noah and Daniel as great men of faith. Ezekiel 14:14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Would you take your Bibles now and turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And as we read this well-known story, we know that Job endured much. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There was a man. Wouldn't it be nice if we were like Job men? In every way, shape, and form. Maybe not all of the areas, huh? But there was a man of Uz. I've always found it interesting that there is the Wizard of Oz. And he was what? A fake. He was a fake. But this man was no fake. This man of Uz. This Job. That man was perfect, the Bible says. 1 Kings 8:60-61. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments. The word perfect simply implies wholeheartedness for God, single-mindedness, sincerity, not sinless perfection. As long as we are in these sinful bodies, we are unfortunately going to sin. All of you except me. Why are you laughing? Oh, because I've told you stories. And you know that I drive a car in Sterling Heights. Yes. We know that all of us are sinners, right? There are lost sinners and there are saved sinners. The difference is lost sinners, unfortunately, will spend eternity in hell. Saved sinners, thank God, will spend eternity in heaven. That's why the most important decision you will ever make is in accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that man was perfect and upright. In other words, he was honest, moral, just, righteous, true, plumb. Now that's a word carpenters may use. Something is plumb. It means it can be used for a starting point. When people are building walls, they want things to be plumb. They want them to be right. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed. Now that is not a word that I have used in the last 6 years. Unless I'm talking about Job or the fact that we are to abstain from or avoid or shun or to refrain from on purpose. To do it on purpose. Are there things that we should shun on purpose? Yes? On the back of the bulletin, there's some thoughts about pornography in our society. Gentlemen, shun it. Abstain from it. Keep away from it. Is it just the sin of men? No. In fact, one out of three who visit pornography sites, ladies, are women. And it's growing amongst the female part of our society. It is an area that we need to shun. It destroys families. It destroys people. I've known of men who have lost their jobs over it. I've known of men who have lost their families. Their children have nothing to do with them. Because of pornography, we are to eschew evil. But most do not eschew evil, but dwell in it happily like pigs in slop. And I'm not just talking about pornography, I'm talking about the sins of our society. As I mentioned in our bulletin on the back, we have this giant that is coming against our society. And the giant is not coming alone, he's coming with his brothers. Do you remember when David went out to face Goliath, he took how many stones? Five stones. Is that because he thought he'd miss Goliath four times? No, Goliath had four brothers. And he didn't know if they'd all come against him. But I'm going to tell you this, that pornography is coming not by himself, but with his brothers. It's something that we need to battle in our society, to battle against it. Let's continue reading verse 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. He had great wealth. He had 10 children. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I once asked Donna what it must be like to be the best of something in life. To be a Michael Jordan. To be someone who is, when people talk about you, everybody knows about you. Wouldn't that be nice? I think it'd be great to be someone that someone would say, I know him. My wife is very close to that, or was very close to that, during her cake baking days. Donna entered a number of state fairs, including this Michigan State Fair, with a decorated wedding cake, and she won the blue ribbon. She won the blue ribbon at a number of the state fairs. One, she won the gold ribbon as the best of everything that was there. I am the husband of Donna Madonna. Isn't that great? I think it's marvelous. Yes. We'd go to take a wedding cake someplace, and they knew who Donna was, and I was her slappy. But that's all right. But at the meeting that we were just at there on Mackinac Island, and wouldn't it be interesting if it was your family that owned the Grand Hotel? But the Muse family has just sold it, and it's now owned by other people. And yet people know who the Grand Hotel, or what it is, right? There on the island, the movie Somewhere in Time was filmed there, and other movies also. But the speaker that was asked to come, Dennis Correll, was asked to come, and this man could quote verse after verse after verse after verse. I was impressed. He's really got a hold on things, and he has written 70 books. 70. How many of you have written a book? Now, when I graduated from Bible college, I had to write a thesis. It was 60 pages long. Can you imagine 60 pages? My wife did the final copy of it. Yes. You know what I bought her for doing that? A type? No, she had that's why I married her, because she had an electric typewriter. Do you know when I went to college, I had a manual typewriter. That's what I had. Can you imagine a manual typewriter today? She had an electric typewriter, so I married her. You don't believe that now, do you? It's because she had a car and I didn't. Yeah, yes. But I wrote 60 pages. It was pretty much. Oh, and I didn't tell you what I gave her, did I? No, I didn't give her a ream of paper. I gave her a set of Revereware. That we still have. Yeah, isn't that amazing? You didn't come to church to hear that, did you? No, but 70 pages, and yet this man is so well known in the Baptist circles as being a great preacher. Job was rich. We find that he was going to have a bad day. You ever have a bad day? Yeah, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Wow, what a testimony. Let me ask you a question. Would you like God to pick you out and say to Satan, what do you think about him? What do you think about? One of you men raise your hand as a volunteer. There you go. Rick. How would you like it, Rick? Satan comes and the Lord says, have you looked at Rick? What a man. Fears God, escheweth evil. What was he doing? He was setting Job up, wasn't he? Satan's coming after you, buddy. Are you ready? Yeah. Notice what it says. Have you considered my servant Job? Verses 9 through 11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy faith. He will curse thee. Has your faith been put to the test yet? Has your faith been put to a place where whatever you have has been touched in a negative way? Notice the Lord's challenge. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Boy, he says, this is going to be fun. And when I'm done with him, he's not going to be the man you think he is, God. The Lord's challenge. Let's begin reading in verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. One awful day. He lost his oxen, his sheep, his camels, his children, most of his servants, and his wife's support. When your faith is put to the test, how will you respond? Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and what? Worshipped. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. God set Job up. God put Job to the test. God did this. Does that mean he won't do it again? Ever been to a trophy case in a high school, college, some place where they had the trophies all lined up? And you say, wow, they had good teams. Wow, that's great. Can the Lord put you up as a trophy? Can he say, look at, because they stood the test and passed. Chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of men came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause, still he holdeth fast his integrity. That the trial of your faith. Question. Do you think that Job ever regrets that he remained strong for the testimony of the Lord? Do you think that Job today is sorry that he remained strong? Do you think he wished that he would have crumbled and cursed God and fussed and screamed and said, why God, why me? No. He's glad that he has a testimony that he remained strong. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 2:12, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a spiritual battle. And we must remain strong. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we find that there were those who came alongside David and were part of his group of men. And the Bible says they were fit for the battle. Are we fit for the spiritual battle of today? Habakkuk 3:18 and 19. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. If we are going to remain strong in our society, we must stay close to the Lord our God. We must remain in his care. Deuteronomy 10 tells us, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve him. Are you willing to do those things? Quickly take your Bible and turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Verse 30. It's not a strange verse to most of you if you've been in churches for any length of time that use the Word of God as their textbook. They have used this verse. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What about you? I searched for a man that would stand in the gap for what? For the land. I'm going to put a challenge to you men today. Are you willing to stand in the gap for the United States of America? Are you? Brother Wutke, are you willing to stand in the gap? Tony, Gary, Dan, are you willing to stand in the gap? Jim, Dave, are you willing to stand in the gap? Pastor Stephen, Jerry, Rick, Todd, Bob Muehlhoff, are you willing to stand for the United States of America? Oh, Rudy, I'm sorry, I missed you. You blended in right there. Are you willing? Oh, don't think, ladies, that I'm going to leave you out. Ladies? There you go. Are you willing to stand in the gap for the United States of America? Because in our day and society today, we need men and women who are willing to stand up for what is right. And this is right. This is what's important in our society today. And folks, our nation has drifted from our founding fathers and their belief and their faith. Now, I don't believe that when they said that we had the freedom of the press and to write what we want, that we meant pornography. I don't believe that for a moment. I don't believe free speech means that you can cuss and curse and that, oh, we have free speech. No, that's not what they meant. We had the right to proclaim the Word of God. But are you willing to stand in the gap? Are you willing to stand up? What if I were to challenge you today? You know, last week I challenged you to fast on Thursday because our Michigan representatives asked that we fasted and prayed and humbled ourselves for the state of Michigan. And I told you that my wife and I were going to be at the Grand Hotel on Thursday, and I wasn't going to give up steak for breakfast. So my wife and I fasted on Tuesday. Can I ask you a question? Would you be willing to tithe every Tuesday to Election Day and pray for the United States of America? Are you willing to stand in the gap? See, when God looked for it for Israel, he found how many? None. None were willing to stand in the gap. None. But I don't believe that we have none today. I believe we have many. I believe we have many who are willing to do what's right. And I'm going to challenge you that you're willing to fast for the United States of America for the Tuesdays between now and our election day. Could you do that? Would you be willing to stand in the gap for America? Do you love America? You say, oh man, you're laying it on. You bet I am, because I think America's worth doing it for. Do you know there are men who have died so that we could do this today? Died. Before D-Day, they were told, the men that were going ashore, they were told, many of you will not come back alive. And they went anyways. We need men and women who are willing to stand up for God today. Shall we stand now? We have an invitation time. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you were to die today, do you know him? Number two, if you do know him as your Lord and Savior, and you were put to the test, would you pass? Those are important questions. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come and shake my hand and say, I will fast. No, this is a commitment between you and the Lord. It's not between you and me. But are you willing to stand in the gap? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, we ask that your name would be honored and glorified. And Lord, we pray for men and women who are willing to put their faith to the test, who are willing to stand in the gap for this church, for our state, for our nation, but Lord, most of all, for our families. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.